Again, God has blessed us that we could have another opportunity and privilege and another Lord's Day to assemble together in a fashion like this. I appreciate the presence of every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. We want you to continue to feel comfortable as you're with us and purpose that you're going to come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. I encourage all of us to take our Bibles out and make sure that what's being stated this morning is in harmony with the Word of God. I want to try my best not to fall short of it, not go beyond it, but give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that I say. And if you feel like I've missed the mark in some way, I always make myself available at the end of service and the back door. You don't hesitate to let me know that. Again, it's a privilege to be able to be here, and I'm thankful to be with you again. We're going to have another two-part lesson on the phrase, "I will." And that'll be this morning, Lord willing, and then next Sunday morning. Then just to give you a heads up, don't forget that next Sunday evening, the young men will be preaching and delivering that sermon. I look forward to that. They're working hard on it. In fact, we're going to meet again this afternoon at 5 o'clock and continue to work on that sermon outline. And you know what? Good job they did last time, and I look forward to hearing them again next Sunday night. It is on the topic, "Why the Church of Christ?" There's a lot of religious bodies you could be a member of, but why the Church of Christ? And they're going to give you some good reasons, biblical reasons, as to why the Church of Christ. So I look forward to that, and I hope that you'll anticipate and look forward to that good sermon. The phrase "I will" occurs numerous times in the Bible. It was read in our hearing. Ethan did a very good job in reading that from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, one of those occurrences of this very simple phrase. When this leper came to the Lord and he said, "Lord, if you will, thou canst make me clean." Then the Lord said in verse 3, "Put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. That phrase, "I will," is found numerous times in the Bible. But I want us to confine our study this morning, our sermon, to the "I will" statements of Jesus. And there's several of those. Makes a good study when you think about the various speeches that the Lord gave. You might take some lessons from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, or you might think about what the Lord said in a major speech section like in Matthew chapter 13, a parable section that the Lord gave. You might think about what the Lord said as He reprimanded the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, as recorded in Matthew 23. And you might think about the various "I am" statements that Jesus made. There's a ton of those. And you might think about the sayings from the cross. Makes a good sermon, a good study when you think about all the various things that Jesus said. But it's also a good study when we think about the times that the Lord said, "I will." I've said before concerning God our Father that He has a good track record. When He said that He would do something, guess what? Each and every time, that's right, He did it. Good job. Or if He said, "I'm going to do something," you could be guaranteed that He would do that, just as He said He would. And so the same holds true with Jesus. Several times He said, "I will." And I want us to think about several of them this morning. And again, as I already stated, next week, Sunday morning, we'll finish this lesson and think about several more. But the first one that I want you to think about is found in the book of John, chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus performs one of His many miracles. And that was that He fed a crowd of some 5,000 people. Remember that? With just a very few fish and loaves and so forth. The Bible says that Jesus afterward, He got into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And folks followed Him to the other side as he went. But Jesus had told them, "You're not following Me because of the miracles that you saw, but you're following Me because you were filled." Remember that in John chapter 6 and in verse 26. And then He began to teach the people about the fact of the bread which came from heaven. He said in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And then he said in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. You think about the comparison of the manna from the Old Testament, which God used to sustain His people. And then He just performed this miracle in feeding this great multitude. And then He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Think about that. Jesus said, I will give my flesh, I will give myself. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. What a great I will statement. I will give myself. In 1 John chapter 4 and then verse 9, in this was the love of God manifested toward us, and that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. What's the rest of that? 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. Did it say anything about living, about life? Again, 1 John 4, verse 9. That we might live through Him. Folks, I enjoy preaching. I enjoy teaching the gospel. Many of you do that's present this morning. But eternal life is not found through Donnie Oliver. It's not found in any one of you. But it is through Jesus Christ our Lord. He came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19, verse 10. To save people from their sins, Matthew 1, 21, and a host of other verses talk about His purpose in coming to the world. But He gave His life a ransom on the rugged cross of Calvary that we could be saved. I will give for the life of the world. But also when you think about this statement, I will. Not only did the Lord give His life, He laid down His life on the cross, but He made the statement that He would rise again. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 63. Matthew chapter 27 and in verse 63. It was stated concerning Jesus. Some folks had said about Him. Let's back up to verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, they accused Jesus of being a deceiver. He was accused of a lot of things, none of which were true. Except when individuals said that He was the Son of God, that He was a miracle worker, that He was a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies and so forth. But they said, we remember that deceiver said, while He was yet alive, well, tell us what He said. After 3 days, I will rise again. I'm thankful that a lot of folks have the resurrection on their mind this morning, but it's a very sad state of affairs that a lot of folks don't think about it until this time of the year. Isn't that sad? The Lord's body, the Church of Christ, remembers the Lord's death each and every first day of the week, as was stated a moment ago, when we observed His supper. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember that? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you to show the Lord's death till He come, Paul Penn. And we'll keep doing this until the Lord comes again. But they said to Pilate, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive or with us that he will rise again. Did he do that? He did, didn't he? We serve a risen Savior. Sometimes we sing that hymn. We serve a risen Savior. In the book of Mark, chapter 14, and in verse 58, we heard him say, some of the false witnesses that rose up against him, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Obviously, Jesus was talking about his body And His resurrection is recorded in each of the accounts of the Gospel. Matthew 27. Mark 15 and Luke 23 and then John chapter 20. The resurrection is talked about in each of those passages. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, when Paul was writing to the saints at Rome, it was stated and declared, talking about Jesus, He declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection. He rose from the dead. By the way, it makes another good study and a good invitation. By the resurrection, that statement, by the resurrection, is found three times in the New Testament. And it makes an interesting study. I think a moment ago, if my memory serves me right, I may have told you Matthew chapter 27 for the resurrection account, Matthew 28 and Mark 16 and then Luke 24 and then John 20. And so if I failed to give you those right ones, you can make a correction of that or pick up a sermon outline in the back. But Jesus had said, "I will rise again." And He did that. But also Jesus had made another "I will" statement that's found in Luke chapter 12. Throughout the New Testament, in fact, throughout the Bible, God's people always suffered persecution. When they did righteousness, persecution came on the scene. That was true in the Old Testament. It was true on the New Testament, in the New Testament. And Jesus had prepared the disciples for that fact when He would talk about in Matthew chapter 5 that they would be persecuted. And other passages in the New Testament that talk about the persecution of God's people. But Jesus had made the statement in Luke chapter 12 and in verse 5. Notice what He stated. "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear Him which after He hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him." You see, it's easy to get scared. It's easy to be afraid about situations of which we don't know about. We may not know what's going to happen if we do A, B, C, X, Y, Z. And sometimes we get scared. We get afraid. Well, folks, do you think that the disciples were going to get afraid? That they would fear when they went proclaiming the gospel of Christ or the good news about the risen Savior to individuals? You think they may have gotten frightened, fear, nervous, anxious? Would you? But God had said, let not thy heart be troubled. John 14:1. Be not anxious or afraid. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 3, the King James Version uses the word careful. Be careful for nothing, but the word's anxious. The idea is anxious about that, worrisome. Talked about not being worrisome in Matthew chapter 6. And don't be afraid of what individuals may do to you. That's a message for us today. Don't be afraid of what individuals may do to you, what they might think about you, what they may say to you, how they might feel about you when you try to teach them the truth. Jesus said, "I'll forewarn you who you should fear. Fear Him that is after the body is destroyed has power to cast into hell." The writer of the book of Hebrews in Hebrews 10:31 said that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So don't fear what man may say or think or do to you. And I shouldn't fear what they might think, say, or do to me. But also, when you think about "I will," the book of Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 13, the Bible says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" How would you respond to that? If folks ask you, who do you say that Jesus is? What would you say? Well, there's a lot of folks who believe that Jesus was a historical person, that Jesus lived in Palestine, that Jesus roamed the earth, that Jesus even did a lot of good deeds. But yet the very people who say that often deny that He was the Son of God. So who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, what kind of question is that? He was before them. Was He asking them, do you believe that I'm real? Is that the point behind the question? Do you believe I did a lot of good things while I was among you? That I taught a lot of good messages among you? Well, they had heard and they had seen. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What's folks saying about me? Well, some say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets, Elias. Well, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter professed. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that I will what? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. I said before and I'll say again, if you know the difference between what's plural and singular, you'll never get caught up in the false idea of denominationalism or that one church is as good as another. Because the Lord said, I will build my church. Did He do that? He promised some that were alive during His time that they would not die till they see the kingdom of God come with power, Mark 9:1. Absolutely, He did that. He did that very thing when it's recorded in Acts 2. That Peter preached to them the gospel message, first gospel sermon that was proclaimed to a great multitude of the Jews gathered in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. They that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, Acts 2:41. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, Acts 2, verse 47. So He said, I will build my church. And He did that. And that's the one that I want to be a member of. You want to be a member of the Lord's church or a church that finds its origin in man? I want to be in the Lord's church. The blood-bought institution of the Lord, Acts 20, verse 28. The one that you read about on the pages of the Bible. Like when Paul would say in Romans 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. I want to be a member of that church. But also in John chapter 6, we were there a moment ago. But notice in John chapter 6 and in verse 40. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, there were many during the days of Christ that did not believe in a bodily resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in a bodily resurrection. Some evidently that were among Christians in the first century, as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, did not believe in a bodily resurrection. But Jesus said, He talked about everlasting life in the passage I just gave you. Then He said, I will raise him up in the last day. Now the Sadducees not believing a bodily resurrection is found in Acts chapter 23 and Luke 20 verse 27. I will raise him up at the last day. The Bible talks about everlasting life. He talks about a resurrection. He talks about the last day. And also in John chapter 11, verse 25, when Jesus had raised a man from the dead, called forth Lazarus, a dear friend of His, from the tomb. Before He did that, He and Martha had this conversation. Jesus said in John 11, 23, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection. I've got a sermon prepared on the false teaching of the AD 70 doctrine. Folks who believe that the resurrection already took place. Well, that's nothing new. I'll present that in some Sunday in the future. Thy brother shall rise again in the resurrection. For I know that he shall rise again, Martha said, in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Lazarus died. Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, if a man believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We're going to die physically, Ecclesiastes 9:5, Ecclesiations 12:6 and 7, Hebrews 9:27, other passages. We know that we're going to die physically, but the Lord said, if you believe in me, though you die, you can live. And he's talking about everlasting life. You want to live forever? Billions and billions of dollars are spent on wasted products that try to remove or make over wrinkles and appearances of age. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. I'm just telling you that you're going to die in spite of doing that. I want to live forever. I want you to live forever. God and our Lord wants us to live forever. And if you do, you're going to have to believe in Jesus. In Matthew 11:28, another I will statement. Jesus said in that passage, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will, what's the rest of that? Give you rest. That's right. Take my yoke upon you and learn me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I know I'm not the only one in saying, I know you can relate to this, we get tired, don't we? We get weary. We get tired of being tired. Long days and long nights come upon us, come our way. We toil and it takes work. God expects us to work in His service. And we get tired as we're busy about doing that. There's coming a time when that'll be no more and we can have eternal rest. Our rest, relaxation, retirement, however you want to look at it, is not here. It's up there. Now is the time to be working. I want to be a worker for the Lord. In the book of Revelation 14:13, I heard a voice from heaven say unto me, write, say the Spirit, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, he says, for they shall rest from their labors and their works to follow them. One more point. So we think about I will. In John chapter 14, verse 1 beginning, when Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, you get the last point? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming again. I don't know when. You don't know when. No man does. But we know that He's coming again. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Salvation is used in at least two ways in the Bible. Salvation from past sins when we obey the gospel of Christ. And eternal salvation that we'll receive when the Lord returns again unto salvation. I'm thankful for these small but yet powerful statements made by the Lord. And we'll look at several more, Lord willing, next week. But should you be in this audience having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you've heard it numerous times, why not obey it? You don't have to answer out loud. Just answer to yourself. If I ask you the question, what are you waiting for? What would you say? The Lord wants you to obey today. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the only day that you have. Tomorrow's not promised and may never be. Why not? You're waiting for everything to get perfect and it never happened. You're waiting for everything to be smooth, it simply will not come to fruition. You're waiting to know everything, you'll go to your grave not knowing it all. I don't know it all. You already know that. Neither will you. So what are you waiting on? How do you become a Christian? By doing what they did in the Bible to become a Christian. It's not my word, it's God's word. God said, you want to become a Christian, you hear the gospel. Romans 10:17. Believe it. John 8:24. Repent, turn, change your mind about the ways that you've been doing, about the sin that you've been committing. And start doing right. Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. And be immersed, baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. God will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed, no matter how you might feel about them, big or small. What do you think of big or small? God will forgive you. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away. You've turned your back on the Lord. You're not faithful like you should be. You realize that. You've come to yourself and you want to come home. You want to be restored. God's made provision for you to do that very thing. Repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession and prayer to God, and we'll pray with you and for you. There's danger and delay. It's not worth putting off. Come right now.